Any of you like a good story? Yeah, I like a good story. Every now and then I like a good story. I like mysteries. Just kind of get involved with for a few hours and kind of shut everything else out. I especially like mysteries because I like seeing as early in the story as I can get, trying to figure out who done it or what's going on. And usually I do a pretty good job of trying to figure out who it is. But a few years ago I went to see this movie. It was called Sixth Sense. Any of you ever see Sixth Sense? Okay, a few of you have. I knew nothing about the movie when I went to see it, but someone told me it was worth seeing, and I saw it. And I'm going to warn you, I'm going to give you a spoiler here, so if you've ever been planning on seeing it, I'm going to give away the ending, so I apologize out front. But in the story, it was about a successful child psychologist who was shot right at the beginning of the story, he gets shot, and by one of his former patients. The former patient who had broken into his house was an adult now, and he said, "You failed me," and that's why he did it. And after he is shot, we fast forward several months, and we see the psychologist is he's having a difficult time adjusting to his parents' recent divorce. He's being teased by the kids at school, and we discover that the little boy has a secret. And we finally get to the point in the story about halfway through where he gets enough of a trust of his therapist and he tells him what his secret is. And we have no idea what the secret is, but he finally says, "Here's my secret. I see dead people." And that's the catchphrase. "I see dead people." And then he says, he goes on to say, "They don't know that they're dead." Now the irony in the story is that at the end of the movie we discover that the psychologist, the one who's trying to help him, is dead but doesn't know it yet. Now, in the process of helping this young boy deal with his gift of talking to dead people, the boy helps him to accept his own death and he moves on. And so it was a good mystery and it really had me fooled as well as a lot of people. Now, we know that the movie itself wasn't true. We know that as we study the Bible, and it doesn't take a whole lot of study, just a reading of the Bible, we know that dead people don't really speak to us. The Bible consistently teaches from Genesis to Revelation that when people die, they're in their graves, they're unconscious. The Bible uses the term sleep, in fact, over and over again to describe the state of the dead. Psalm 90 verse 5 says, "You sweep men away in the sleep of death." Ecclesiastes 9:5 says that the living know that they will die, the dead know nothing. Death is a state of unconsciousness, unawareness. But then the Bible also speaks of the hope for life beyond death. We know that death is not the end, that the dead are going to be awakened. Daniel 12, verse 2 says, "Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake." And Job 19, 25, the Job who had suffered so much, he says, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another, how my heart yearns within me." So Job, even though he was going through all these difficulties and trials, knew that one day God was going to raise him from the sleep of death, and that he would stand upon the earth, and he would see the Lord with his own eyes in his own body. Consistently, death then is compared to sleep. The dead remain in their graves just as we've laid them to rest here in the cemetery. They're waiting, they're sleeping, they're waiting for the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed, we will be transformed." He says, "For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality." It is only then, at the last trumpet, at the end of the age, when Christ himself returns, the dead will rise up, they will have been made immortal, that means they cannot die again, we will be like Jesus, we will be made whole and complete and perfect. Amen. That's our hope, right? Give God the praise for that. Well, then, if we believe that that's what the Bible teaches, and that's what I believe it teaches, then we know that there are no ghosts wandering around speaking to us. I know that my father, and I appreciated your tribute to your father, Debbie, my father died 7 years ago this year. I know that he's not haunting us. He's not haunting my mom, is he? most of the time. No, he's not. He's not haunting. He's not haunting that house back in Hammond, Louisiana, where they lived before he died. He's sleeping peacefully in the grave. And I know and I believe that when Jesus comes back, and I hope that's very soon, amen, that he will be raised up, he will be made whole, immortal, he'll be made new again. It won't be in a body that's racked with cancer and weak and frail. It'll be healthy and strong, immortal body. The dead, and this is my point, the point that I want us to see from the scripture today, the dead don't speak because they're dead. And yet, in a way, the dead still do speak. The Bible uses a metaphorical language to describe that. When Cain killed Abel, you go back in Genesis 4, the first murder in the Bible, when Cain killed Abel, God said to Cain afterwards, he said, "Listen, Cain, listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Now, no one here imagines that Abel's blood, the stuff that flowed through his veins that was now spilled on the ground, no one believes that that literally was speaking. Blood doesn't speak. And yet, God uses figurative language here. Abel was dead, yet his body, his blood was crying out for justice, for God to notice what had happened. Several years ago, there was a nun from New Orleans, by the way, and some of you have heard of her. Her name was Sister Helen Prejean. She still lives there, as far as I know, in the New Orleans area. And there were two young men who were on the death row in Louisiana waiting for execution for some horrific murders. They were just terrible things that these men had done. And she wrote a book about her experience. She was kind of the spiritual director of these young men as they were on death row. And she wrote a book, and it was titled Dead Men Walking. And that's what the prison guards say as the condemned prisoners are walking down to be escorted to the electric chair or the gas chamber or lethal injection, whatever that is. They say, "Dead man walking." And that's not literally true. They're not literally dead yet, although they're as good as dead because they have been condemned and they're about to be put to death. They're as good as dead. Hebrews 11, I think, and that's what I'd invite you to turn to now. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going through the book of Hebrews, and I think Hebrews 11 could easily be titled Dead Men Talking. Not Dead Men Walking, but Dead Men Talking, because it gives a summary. I think in Sunday school this morning, Debbie, you said your Bible calls it the Hall of Fame of Faith, doesn't it? So then that's another good way of looking at it. But it's this idea of these great men and women of faith in the Bible who, although they are long since dead, they're in the grave, they're asleep waiting the resurrection, yet they're still speaking through God's Word. Dr. Tony Campolo, did a study a number of years ago of 50 people who were 95 years old or older. And they were asked, he asked every one of these 50 people, he said, "If you could live your life over again, what would you do differently?" Now, if somebody that's over 95 years old says what they would do differently, I'm gonna pay attention. And they said a lot of different things, these 95-plus-year-olds. But three answers consistently surfaced more than any others. He said, "If I had to do it all over again," the majority of them said, "I would reflect more. I would think more about my life and the decisions that I made. If I had to do it all over again, I would risk more. I would try new things." And he said, "And if I had to do it over again, I would do more things that would live on after I died." That's the one that really caught my attention. I would do more things that would live on after I am dead. Now, how does that happen? How do you do something that lives on after you die? How do we create something in life that will live on after we die? Well, we think about it. Now, art museums, you ever been to an art museum filled with paintings and sculptures? And most of those are people that have long since fallen asleep in death. Rembrandt and Monet and Leonardo and the music of Mozart and Beethoven and Bach and Handel, they lived 500 years ago and composed these wonderful pieces of music, and they're still played long after they die. The poems of Homer, who hasn't read the Iliad and the Odyssey in school, you know, was written over 2,000 years ago. The plays of Shakespeare, the stories of Steinbeck, even the movies of Alfred Hitchcock and Cecil B. DeMille, they live on long after the person has died. Whenever you watch the Ten Commandments, you know, and Charlton Heston goes out there and the sea parts, that's DeMille's vision of that, and he's still speaking to us in a way, even though he is dead, because technology makes it possible now. Technology makes it possible for the dead to speak to us through film, through audio. The voice can be preserved. How many of you have heard Cogcast? Any of you listen to Cogcast on the internet? I hope that you have. Check it out. It's wonderful. God is using that to preserve and share some of the old songs and some of the old sermons. E. Richard Smith is asleep out here, awaiting the resurrection, and yet recently you could hear him speaking again on Cogcast. Around the world via the internet, he was preaching again. Not too long ago, I heard my father on Cogcast, a sermon that they had recorded in 1953. And I was talking to my mom. We figured he must have been 21 years old at the time. I had never heard the sound of my dad's voice when he was 21, and yet I could hear him speaking, and it was being broadcast around the world. They said that Wally says people as far away as Australia pick up the Cogcast broadcast. So we would do more things that lived on after we died. That's pretty significant, isn't it? Because when you think about it, most people after they die are only remembered by about three generations. I thought about this. I love my grandfather, Joe Fletcher, was born in 1896 in Sussex, England. Moved to Canada when he was 8 years old. He was a godly man, raised his family in the Church of God, was an elder in his church for many years, died when he was 98 and a half years old. We have a couple pictures of him up in our house, and my children will ask me, well, tell me a little bit about your grandpa. My oldest three, I think, JJ and Jonathan and maybe Joshua, met him when they were tiny little boys. That was it, before he died. The rest of them, they never knew him. Even those that met him, he was old by that time. He wasn't the same vibrant, funny person, energetic man that I knew. But they've heard me tell stories about him. But now he is dead. And his sons, my dad and my uncle, they are dead. And if the Lord's delayed is coming, one day I'll be dead too. I'll be joining them. And pretty soon there won't be anybody left who remembers my grandfather, who remembers the stories that he told. He will fade from living memory. The rose gardens that he loved and planted have mostly died. The house he built will one day crumble. He created no masterpieces of art. He wrote no books. He left behind no great fortune. Unfortunately, at least none of it found its way to me. But his faith will live on. And that's what I'm here to say. His faith will live on. The faith that he taught my father taught me, that I teach my children. And when they have children, hopefully they will pass on to their children and their children's children. The faith he shared when he taught his Sunday school class at church, when he preached. The faith that he shared with his neighbors. The faith that he shared when he would faithfully go and visit the sick in the hospital and the nursing homes. That faith lives on. And so as long as faith lives on, he will live on. Amen? His faith will live on. Hebrews 11, the whole message of Hebrews 11 is that the dead still speak to us by their faith. Look at verse 4, for instance. Hebrews 11, verse 4. It says, by faith Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And listen to this. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is what? Dead. Abel is dead. He is asleep. He is in the ground. He is awaiting the resurrection when Christ comes. And yet by faith, he's still speaking to us. Just as his blood cried out from the ground, by faith, he still speaks to us today. Now, Abel never built a cathedral. Abel never painted a painting, as far as we know. He never wrote a book, as far as we have record of. In fact, he never even married or had children, as far as we know. He was a simple man. He raised sheep, and yet his heart loved the Lord so much that he was moved by faith in God to go out to his flocks and take the best of his flock, that best that he had, and to sacrifice it and give it freely as a gift to God. You can read about it in Genesis 4. This was long before the law prescribed such a thing. This was freely given out of the goodness of his heart. Abel loved God and wanted to worship God by giving the best of what he had to God. And God, it says, was very pleased. Abel's simple sacrifice, born out of love for God and faith, that happened nearly 6,000 years ago, half a world away, still speaks to us today. Amen? Right here in this pulpit. Jesus referred to Abel in his own teachings, and the writer of Hebrews uses it as an example of faith. You see, you never know what impact a simple act of faith will have, do you? A young boy brings his lunch of fish and bread and listens while the prophet preaches. People get hungry. There are thousands there listening to Jesus. What are a few fish and some bread to so many people? And yet in faith, he offers the little fish sandwich, and Jesus takes it and feeds 5,000 men and women and children besides. And 2,000 years later, this little boy, long in his grave, yet by faith in Jesus Christ, speaks to us here. Jesus goes to the temple and sees an old widow putting two small little coins into the offering, small in comparison to the many other offerings being made that day. And yet it was an act of extreme faith on her part because she was given all that she had. She gave God everything. 2,000 years later, we still speak. Her life still speaks. Shortly before Jesus died, a woman came with an alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume, poured it on Jesus' head. Jesus was so touched by her example of extravagant love and faithfulness that he said, and I quote Jesus, "Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." She's long ago gone to sleep in the earth, and yet she still speaks through faith. The writer of Hebrews goes down this list of those who have died, and yet by faith they still speak. Enoch is dead, but by faith he still speaks. By faith we're still mentioning his name. He was willing to prophesy against the sin of his day. It cost him his life, but he still speaks today. Noah is dead, but he still speaks. By faith, both Jesus and Peter referred to Noah in their teaching and preaching. Abraham is dead, but he still speaks by faith. Imagine a 100-year-old man who lived in tents, lived like a nomad, wandering around through the land of Canaan, down to Egypt and then back up, who went all of his life, or most of his life, thinking that he and his wife Sarah would never have a child of their own. And yet 4,000 years later, half a world away, there are people who call themselves Church of God of the what? Abrahamic faith. You see, though he is dead, he is still speaking through faith, through his life. Abraham was prepared to sacrifice his son Isaac because he believed in the resurrection. Abraham is dead, but he still speaks through faith. And then he goes on and he lists others, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses' parents and Moses himself and Rahab the prostitute and Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel, and the list goes on and on. And they're all asleep in their grave, they're all dead, and yet they still speak to us today through faith. In fact, Hebrews says that they all died, and when they died, they had still not received what was promised. Verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from what? From a distance. Why? Hebrews 11:39 says that only together with us will they be made perfect. Amen? Only together with us. That will be at the resurrection, when Jesus comes back to wake us up from our all those who are sleeping in the ground, to give us our new immortal bodies, when we will reign with Christ on the earth along with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Noah and Moses and Rahab and David and Abel and Enoch and Elijah and Elisha and E. Richard Smith and my grandfather and my father and my Uncle Art, and Ruth Vaughn, and Mac Gregory, and Bobby Hammonds, and Tillman Gentry, and Joe Shaw, Ida Mae Davenport, Lib Sims, I could go on the list. Our loved ones who have gone before us, who lived lives of faith, and who died trusting in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who passed on their faith to us, in their teaching, in their preaching, and in their very lives that they lived in front of us, who though they are now asleep in their graves, they still speak to us through faith. Amen? We are their legacy. Our church, our faith is the legacy that they leave behind. And now it is up to us. It is up to you and me. And if the Lord's return is delayed, what legacy will we leave behind? Remember those that lived to be 95? They said, we would have done more things that will live on after we die. When you live a life of faithfulness to God in faith, you will continue to speak and influence even after you have died. When you teach, when you encourage others in the faith, when you give freely of your heart out of gratitude for God, when you serve, when you share your faith with someone else, when you love the least of these in Jesus' name, you are living a life and leaving a legacy that will speak long after you have gone to sleep. So my question this morning for each of us, for you, for me, what are you doing with your life? Do you want your life to matter long after you have stopped breathing? Then spend your life serving God in faith. All that you do in faith to God in response to what He has done in giving you Jesus Christ and the hope of the coming kingdom is an investment in eternity that will last forever when Christ comes. So my charge to you and my challenge to you, will you commit today to creating a life that will speak forever? If Christ's coming is delayed and one day you die and join those who are sleeping in the ground, don't you want your life to matter as something that will last forever? Ask yourself some hard questions this week. Ask yourself, what changes do I need to make in how I live my life and my passions and my priorities? I'm willing to guarantee you that this week you're going to turn on the news and you're going to see pictures coming out of the Gulf Coast, whether it's out of New Orleans or Mobile or Biloxi or Gulfport or on over towards Texas. You're going to see pictures of people's homes that are destroyed in an instant, as those winds come in and knock them down, as the storm surge comes in. Houses crumble. Fortunes are lost. Possessions get burned in fires or destroyed by floods, get rusty, get sold for taxes, are given away to Goodwill, sold at auctions, or fill up landfills. But a life invested in the things of God pay dividends that last forever. And who knows, one day you could be a dead man talking or a dead woman talking. But first, give your life, your full life, to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our challenge today.